Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I ask that you bless this message. You know the obviously the content of the message, and I pray, Father, that when we leave here today, that we will have a heart that is praising you out of gratefulness and acknowledging you in your hand, and that we will rejoice in you and be the people that you continue to call us to be. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message is Restraining the Power of Darkness. Now, it's interesting, as we were singing that last song, I had just prior to singing that song, a thought that came to my mind as a different introduction than what I was expecting. But every day we see this example. The example is that the sun goes down, at night it's dark. Right? How many of you have grown up in the country or lived out in the country before? You live out there? Okay. So then you're out there. When it's dark, it's dark. When we moved here, it was difficult because it was so bright living in the city, you know, the big city of Kalinga. But living in the city, it changed because at night you turn off all the lights and it wasn't quite pitch black. But in the morning, obviously the sun rises. And that's the picture I want you to think about for a minute, is that as it's pitch black and the sun starts to crack through that darkness, it's bright, which is a wonderful thing because it's a spiritual application that we, in the midst of the vastness of the darkness that surrounds us, are called to represent that light of Jesus into a world of darkness. And we are to allow that light that is in us, Jesus Christ, to shine so bright that it disbands darkness. Eventually, that sun comes up and all the darkness is disbanded. So it's no longer nighttime, it's daytime. And so there's a picture there that's in this introduction that I want you to hold on to, is that the vastness of darkness compared to the light of God. And this message is one that starts off a little heavier, very serious, not that all of God's word is serious and to be taken seriously and taken to heart, but the message starts out heavy, if you will, dark, if you will, but the end of the message, I pray that when you leave here today, you're leave with seeing and the light that God reveals to you through this message, and that your hearts will be rejoicing. So I want you to be aware of that as we go through this message. We know that God's hand is at work in the world that we live in. Is God's hand still restraining the power of darkness? There we go. That's the starting of this message. That's a deep, heavy subject. Is God's hand still restraining the power of darkness? Now take that in. Think about that for a moment. Is God's hand restraining the power of darkness? Is he still doing that? We live in a world of darkness. We know that. We've heard that. We see the things that are around us in the world that are going on, that the world seems to get crazier and crazier and more out of control and more dark. So I want to read what the Bible says about this in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 7. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we have a request for you concerning our Lord Jesus Christ coming. And when we are gathered together to be with him, we don't want you to be easily confused in your mind or upset if you hear that the day of the Lord is already here, whether you hear it through some spirit, a message, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. That day won't come unless the rebellion comes first and the person who is lawless is revealed, who is headed for destruction. He is the opponent of every so-called god or object of worship and promotes himself over them. So he sits in God's temple displaying himself to show that he is God. You remember that I used to tell you these things while I was with you, don't you? Now you know what holds him back so that he can be revealed when his time comes. The hidden plan to live without any law is at work, but it will be secret only until the one who is holding it back is out of the way." Now, that's quite a text. That's the longest text that we have in the message here this morning. But I want to pinpoint and break down and dissect just a couple of those verses. And I want us to look at first verse number 1. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we have a request of you concerning our Lord Jesus Christ's coming." That coming there is in reference to the second coming of Christ. And as we look at some other verses in this text, we'll see that that's validated. So what's happening here is that Paul is looking and realizing that the church in Thessalonica had heard the rumor that Christ had already come back at the second coming, physically come back to earth. And that it discouraged them because they are thinking they missed that opportunity. And so they're being encouraged here by letting them know that that hasn't happened and that there are some things that have to take place before Christ comes back to earth. And then it goes on in verse 1. It says, and when we are together to be with him. And read it again just for clarity's sake. Brothers and sisters, we have a request for you concerning our Lord Jesus Christ's second coming and when we are gathered together to be with him. So when Christ comes at the second coming, Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we shall, it says in Revelation that when Jesus comes back, that all the saints, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, millennial saints, tribulation saints, all the saints will be gathered together and will be with the Lord when he comes back at his second coming. How wonderful will that be? Right? Let me clarify, correct that. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, and tribulation saints will be gathered together with him when he comes back, okay? Because the millennial reign still has to come. Now, I don't want to get diving too deep into eschatology and future events because that's not the purpose of this message, but just hang in there and listen to what we're driving at here. Verse 3 says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. That day won't come unless the rebellion comes first and the person who is lawless is revealed. So before Christ comes at the second coming, there has to be a rebellion, and that rebellion is an apostasy or falling away. We're talking about God's people, an apostasy of the church, a falling away of the church, an apostasy or falling away, a rebellion of what? God's word. So we know in the last days that believers are not adhering to the truth of God's word. They're selective about what they want to accept and want to apply. Or they're even telling themselves that the word of God is not all that important to me. It becomes just something that they have and they hear, but they're not really learning and applying and living by the word of God. And that sense of apathy and that sense of apostasy or falling away from the value of the word of God is the work of the spirit of Antichrist. And we know that the scripture talks about the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is at work. Not the person of the Antichrist himself, but the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that is against the truth of God, anything that's of value to God, the Antichrist is working to diffuse that to be not important in the lives and hearts, especially in God's people. So we see this apostasy in these last days that we live in. We see this since it is a form of rebellion here. That has to come first. And then it says the rebellion comes first and the Antichrist. But I want to focus on the word and there for just a moment because really there's a picture here. You've got the falling away, those that find that the word of God isn't all that powerful or all that needed or all that respected or I'm only going to accept parts of it as you will. And then you says the rebellion comes first and after the rebellion comes the rapture. And after the rapture comes the Antichrist. Now again, I'm saying I'm not focusing this message on eschatology or future events and the weight of that. That's not the point that I'm looking at because the introduction was that of looking at the vastness of darkness and the light cuts through that darkness. So you'll find out in a few minutes what I'm talking about here. Verse 6 says, now you know what holds him back, so that he can be revealed when his time comes. What can be held back? The Antichrist. What can be held back? When we think about the Antichrist and the tribulation period happening, we think about that horrible tribulation period. But I want you to think a little bit deeper about that. I want you to understand that the spirit of Antichrist is constantly working against the truth of God's word. Is that not true in the world that we live in? Right? Constantly being challenged, constantly being adapted to meet our own needs instead of accepting it for what it is. So the spirit of Antichrist is always working, but the Holy Spirit is holding the fullness of the wickedness and evil of Satan that he wants to unleash on this world is being held back. Whew. You mean there's more? More? There's going to be an unleashing of wickedness and evil during that time that is beyond our comprehension. So God the Holy Spirit is holding back the unleashing of Satan. He's biting at the bit to set up the Antichrist reign, to set up the tribulation period. He's biting at the bit to let his full disdain for God and his word and his people to be released. But he's being held back. So if there's anything from this message that you can rejoice in, you can rejoice in the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, in his love for us, has holding back the fullness of the evil of the work of Satan that he's waiting to unleash when the Holy Spirit's hand is removed. We don't live in that time period. We won't be. We'll be raptured before the tribulation happens. But we are in a time period that is our day, our today, in which we are in a special time. Even though it's the last days, even though the days are getting darker and darker, all that type of stuff. But we live in a time of grace where the Holy Spirit's holding back the work of Satan and the vastness of his wickedness that he's waiting to unleash. In fact, that type of work is called a mystery of iniquity or mystery of sin. We don't comprehend fully the depth of wickedness that is yet to be unleashed. And it is Satan always tries to counterfeit Jesus. Always. Because the counterfeit, the opposite of that, is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. There's a mystery to godly truth. There's a mystery to the fullness of God in our lives. There's a mystery to the promises that God has yet in store for us. There's a mystery of godliness, and Satan counterparts that by having the mystery of iniquity or the mystery of sin. Verse 7, the hidden plan to live without any law is at work, but it will be secret only until the one who is holding it back is out of the way. That secret is the mystery of iniquity, like I just explained. But the hidden plan to live without any law is at work now. Do we recognize the spirit of Antichrist against the structure of law and the presentation of lawlessness in our world today? Whether it be the spirit of Antichrist against the truth of God's word, a structure of righteousness, or whether it be the lawlessness we see in the streets of America and around the world, that is a spirit of Antichrist working. If we can think about that for a moment, this is still in the density of the darkness of the message I was trying to tell you, but there's light coming. There's light coming. So bear with me. On the news this week, some of you may have heard it, but there were two senior complexes in Oklahoma that were promoting as their company that they could have no Bibles in the facility. We're talking their own personal, not just in the lobby. No Bibles, no angels for decorating for Christmas, nothing that reflects the spiritual truth of God. And as it was investigated, they found that there was over 200 of these facilities in the company across the country. And what's the name of that guy? Carlson? The HUD guy? No. The black guy? Ben Carlson. Thank you, guys. He's investigating the status of that. Okay? He's investigating that. You see, because that's, again, the work of the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of working against the truth of God's word, and it's becoming more and more pronounced. In fact, even when we see things in the news that are stating things such as the unfunding of our police, that is a work of lawlessness, a work of the spirit of Antichrist, because God wants order and decency, not lawlessness. So can we all agree that we see the work of the Antichrist working in the world that we live in, the spirit of Antichrist, but it's just the spirit of Antichrist. It's not the full unleashing of what he's going to let go when the Holy Spirit is no longer restraining him. And so we can rejoice in the fact that we are living in this time period that the Holy Spirit is holding that back for the purpose of you and I to be what God has called us to be. Again, the word rebellion there means apostasy or the falling away of God's people, not living out their faith in God and his word. Many people choose not to live out, Christians choose not to live out their faith. And that's part of the spirit of Antichrist working against us. The Bible speaks about this, and I want to look at it, and we'll get to that sunrise in a moment. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times," we're in the latter times, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." And so you and I have a choice that we are either going to stand up firm for Jesus in a world of darkness that we live in, or we're going to allow ourselves to be deceived, to walk away from the truth of God's word. "For in the latter times, some will depart from their faith." That's tragic. "Giving heed to deceiving spirits." You know, we have things like, accepting the differences that there's more than just male and female, or that homosexuality is natural and normal, or that these things. People hate the truth of God's word. God's word says differently, absolutely differently. And it's those demonic spiritual influences that interject those types of reasoning in people's minds that come to the forefront of action that are implemented through the spirit of Antichrist against God and his word and the church and his people. And that's why some churches are filled with the acceptance of these ideologies that are in contradiction to the word of God at the expense of weakening the presence and the power of the church in their local communities. And so we need to be careful about that reality. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." But look at 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." So we can see these characteristics in the world that we live in, but here's the tragic part of that passage, that they're going to see that more in God's people. That's horrifying. Because you and I know that the challenge of walking with Jesus is daily, moment by moment, to stand in him and through him and for him is a decision on a daily basis. And when we allow ourselves to be complacent, then that is part of the spirit of Antichrist working, or spiritual warfare, if you might want to say it that way. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." That's simply the teachings of God's word. "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." People will search out churches and teaching that fit their standard, as opposed to seeking out churches that uphold the standard of God's word. That sounds harsh, it sounds black and white, but it's a reality because I just read it. I just read that. Now, you think, you know, Pastor, this is a heavy message. This is a dark subject. This is weighing down my spirit right now, and it's not enjoyable. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But I want us to remember something that's important here. And I love this quote. I can't remember who said it. I heard it recently, so I didn't guess at who it was. I have an idea who quoted this. or who said this, but here's the quote. Don't focus on the increasing density of darkness. Instead, focus on being a brighter light. Think about that. We can focus on the horrible things that are going in the world that we live in. We can focus on the latter days that we live in. We can focus on the apostasy and the rebellion and the falling away of God's people. We can focus on all these things that drag our spirit down, right? Don't focus on the density of the darkness, because that's the intent. The more we focus on that, the more it drags us down. Because we have a little dragged down feeling this morning by the content of the message, at least I would suppose. But the alternative is this. Instead, focus on being a brighter light. When we are seeing the crack of dawn happening, we're seeing a spiritual picture of the light of Christ overcoming darkness. And you and I are called to live in light that overcomes the spirit of Antichrist and darkness that surrounds us. We become his people standing bright for Christ. That's an honor. That's a privilege. That's a calling. That's an eternal purpose. That is effective work of God the Holy Spirit, the mystery of godliness being presented. Salvation through faith in Christ. So what do we do to be that brighter light in this darkness that is so dense around us? You watch the news, you get bummed out, you watch all this stuff, and it just kind of compresses you. It almost can feel the emotional sensitivity to it becoming a physical pressure at times. What do we do about that? In 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." This passage, too, is talking about the second coming of Christ. We know the facts of what has to happen before he comes back physically to earth. We know that there's an apostasy. We know there's the rapture or the taking up of the snatching of the church out of this world. And we know there's the introduction to the tribulation period. And at the end of that, there is the second coming of Christ. We know that. But in this time, this one, isn't it a weird, kind of a quirky thing to say? In this wonderful time of grace and privilege that God is giving you and I. Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is holding back the mystery of sin or iniquity, holding back the power of Satan himself, who is biting the bit to unleash himself on the world in opposition to God. We live in that time period. And God, so God says in verse 18 that he says, look, this is what you need to do to be that, and I'm interjecting a thought here, an image here, to be that light that cuts through the density and the vastness of darkness, is that we should make it our determination to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in him is growing in faith. Growing in faith is believing his word, applying his word, walking with him, listening to the Holy Spirit, not the unholy spirit, and the spiritual warfare that each one of us faces on a regular basis. We are to grow in him, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that here receive the glory. Glory to me is like that sun cutting through that darkness. It's a bright, radiant revelation. It's glorifying God. You and I are called to be that. Called to be a part of that, I should say. Keep growing in Christ. In Hebrews 3:12 and 13, it says, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. If the demonic influence in our ears has caused us to reason in a way that says, God's not important, his priority's not important, being the people he's called us to be is not important. That part of God's word is not important. Whatever the case, if we've allowed ourselves to listen to the counsel of the spirit of Antichrist, those things that are against God, then we are depraving ourselves of the fullness of the walk of God. If we allow ourselves to say, look, I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to believe what I want to believe that's going to fit what I want to live. That's part of the spirit of Antichrist. That's not what God wants. God says we are his people. We are to be a living, holy sacrifice. Romans 12. Holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, which is the beginning part. We are to be that. We are to grow in him so we can be that light that God has called us to be in the world we live in. And then it says in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. If at any point we are being compelled to walk away from our calling in life as God has called us to use us, to walk away from God and commitment to him, to walk away from his purpose for your life, then it is just this, that we are to be aware of that. That evil spirit of Antichrist is working evil in our heart to bring us to a state of unbelief that leads us to depart from God. In other words, somehow in that spiritual warfare, Satan and demonic influences influence us to believe contrary to what God says, and we know God says, and act upon what we believe that God says not to do, convince ourselves that God's ways aren't important, then we have been deceived and brought to a place of unbelief, departing from the living God. Not losing our salvation, but not walking as we ought to. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. I love that. We are to build each other up. Us being here together today encourages us, because it says that we are the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, focused on Jesus, committed for him. That encourages us, and that edifies the body. That helps us. And in doing so, we exhort, we build up each other daily while it is called today. When I looked up today, it simply means this is our day. This is your day. This is my day, your day, our day, to be in this day what God has called us to be. This is our day, our time. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The apostasy, the falling away, or the rebellion of God's people against God's word is just that they've been deceived and their hearts have been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. God doesn't want that, because when we embrace things that are against what God says, we rob ourselves of the fullness of relationship that God intends for us to have in him. So we're to keep growing in Christ, and we're not to harden our heart toward God. Don't harden your heart toward God. Any rationale that does that is not from God. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's demonic warfare, and it's drawing us away from God. Today, Christians are separating themselves from the Bible. The Pounce Foundation, a Christian market research organization, suggests that 82% of Christians only read their Bible on Sundays. And frankly, I challenge that. I think that's even high. We need to be in the Word. We need to feed on the bread of life. We need to take it in, apply it, meditate on it, live by it, learn by it, grow by it, be the people that God's called us to be. So we can praise God for two things this morning. The objective of the message was that even though it starts out dark and vast in darkness, that you leave seeing light revealed and praising God. So the first thing to praise God for, I've already said, praise him that we live in our today in a time period where his hand is still holding back. Still holding back. The Antichrist, the mystery of wickedness, of sin and iniquity. We're not going to live in that time period with the full unleashing of Satan into the world that we live in. That we can praise God for. The other is that we are to be determined in our own heart to shine brighter in and through Christ. Remember, don't focus on the increasing density of darkness. We focus on the world so much and all the garbage that's going on, it'll drag us down. Instead, focus on being a brighter light, being closer to Jesus, being the people that God's called us to be in our day. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the message. Like I said, it's disheartening to read the heavy stuff, but it's encouraging to know that we live in a time of grace and that we have opportunity to shine bright for you in greater ways. And the only way that we can do that is simply by yielding ourselves over to you more and more every day, moment by moment, being the people you called us to be, responding to you in a way that's pleasing to you. Guarding ourselves against any type of deception that causes us to accept things that are contrary to you and your will in our lives. That we might be a part of that sunrise that cracks through the vast darkness that we see every time in the morning when we see the sun rise up. And that we're a part of the overwhelming, overcoming light of Christ that totally dissipates and destroys all darkness forever. I praise you for that. I praise you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are truly just that, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ forever, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank you, Father, that you have given us the power and the ability to stand as your people against the vastness of darkness. We don't have to fear, but we can stand in the confidence and the power that you have given us in Christ Jesus. May we rejoice in these things, Father, and may we be all that you called us to be, and may our hearts praise you today because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.